Good morning. Welcome to the virtual Sunday service of the West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, affectionately known as WUF. My name is Kim Transier. I use the pronouns she and her, and it is my privilege to serve as your lay leader this morning. Here in this virtual community, everyone is welcomed and celebrated. Wherever you are, wherever you were born, whatever your age, abilities, or the color of your skin, whomever you love, whatever your gender, if you name one, whatever your spiritual practices, if you have them, and whether you come here this morning joyful or brokenhearted, right now we are all local to this virtual community of conscience and compassion. You'll find announcements about upcoming events attached to your order of service email, where you will also see the link to our after-service virtual coffee hour. I do hope you'll join us there at 11:30 to check in with each other, share joys and sorrows, and engage with today's speakers. If you're with us today for the first time and you don't have an order of service, please email our congregational administrator at admin@woof.org. And welcome. We're glad you found us. When I light the chalice, the symbol of our shared, though scattered, faith, I think of this excerpt from Joyce Sidmon's poem called Starting Now. It is time to look into each other's faces, we who glide along the surface. Time to dive down and feel the currents of each other's lives. Time to speak until the air holds all of our voices. Time to weave for each other a garment of brightness. Let us speak together our opening affirmation. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. Let us open our hearts to love one another. Today's service is about the poetry and music of change and of hope. It will be a potpourri of observations and reflections on our times, beginning with the poem you just heard a bit of, Starting Now, by Joyce Sidmon. It is time for us to wake. We who stumble through the day with our gripes and complaints, who drift numbly through thronging halls and streets. You and I, who rant about injustice, who see all that is wrong in this world, but believe we are shackled and powerless. It is time to look into each other's faces, we who glide along the surface. Time to dive down and feel the currents of each other's lives. Time to speak until the air holds all of our voices. Time to weave for each other a garment of brightness. Open your eyes. Feel your strength. Bless the past. Greet the future. Join hands. Right here. Our moment, starting now. I invite you now to bring to mind or speak aloud the names of anyone you wish to bring into this extended moment of silence for prayer, meditation, or reflection, as may be your tradition. If you would like to create a found poem from this morning's offerings, take a minute to grab something to write with and something to write on. Settle in to listen, and whenever you're moved by a line or phrase, just jot it down. See what happens. I'm Salima Mawson, and I've been a reader and writer and lover of poetry ever since I can remember. I think the first poem I ever loved was Longfellow's Between the Dark and the Daylight. When the night is beginning to lower,
comes a pause in the day's occupation that is known as the children's hour. That was my first exposure to poetic language. No more nursery rhymes for me. But what poetry has taught me over the years is that not all poetic language is formalized in what we call poems. There are beautifully powerful words spoken every day by everyday people that leave their marks on our heart. Like the Clippers coach, Doc Rivers, who said just the other day, "It's amazing why we go on loving this country when this country does not love us back." And Letetra Widem declaring, "I am my brother's keeper. And when you say the name Jacob Blake, make sure you say father. Make sure you say cousin. Make sure you say son. Make sure you say uncle. Make sure you say husband. But most of all, make sure you say human." And let's not forget little Greta Thunberg, who told the United Nations very simply, "Change is coming, whether you want it or not." These days, we live in a world of questions without answers, and we think we are unique. Yet it was in 1903 that the German poet Rainer Maria Rilke wrote to his 19-year-old protege these words, "Be patient to all that is unsolved in your heart, and try to love the questions themselves, like locked rooms and like books that are written in a very foreign tongue. Do not now seek the answers which cannot be given you, because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now, and perhaps you will then gradually, without noticing it, live along some distant day into the answers." Today's readers will cover a lot of territory in this exploration of change and hope, with music for Considering, played by Betsy Weston. Let's get started with a pandemic poem by Kim Stafford, from his little book titled Dr. Fauci's Smile. This poem is titled New Deal. New Deal by Kim Stafford. After the Great War, then the Spanish flu of 1918, we hungered to forget and roared into the 20s in wild speculation, drowning grief and caution in drink, dance, and debt, until the crash of 29 shocked us down. Then we humbled into new ways, thrift, compassion, pulling together as earth spoke in drought and dust, and rootless refugees from failed farms went wandering, wide-eyed in fear. Now, a century beyond all that, we have the flu and the crash in one. How shall we clarify the story problem this time? Health? Money? Earth? What will our 2020 vision see?
Accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better stop swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are changing. Some writers and critics, you prophesize with your pen. And keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, but the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are changing. Some senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't block up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who is stalled. For the battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are changing. Our mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times, they are changing. The line it is drawn and the curse it is cast. The slowest one now will later be fast. Fading, and the first one now will let out be last. For the times they are changing.
Duplex Cento. My last love drove a burgundy car, color of a rash, a symptom of sickness. We were the symptoms, the road, our sickness. None of our fights ended where they began. None of the beaten end where they began. Any man in love can cause a messy corpse. But I didn't want to leave a messy corpse obliterated in some lilied field. Stench obliterating lilies of the field. The murderer, young and unreasonable. He was so young, so unreasonable, steadfast and awful, tall as my father. Steadfast and awful, my tall father was my first love. He drove a burgundy car. The tradition. Aster, nasturtium, delphinium. We thought fingers in dirt meant it was our dirt. Learning names in heat, in elements classical philosophers said could change us. Stargazer, foxglove. Summer seemed to bloom against the will of the sun, which news reports claimed flamed hotter on this planet than when our dead fathers wiped sweat from their necks. Cosmos. Baby's breath. Men like me and my brothers filmed what we planted for proof we existed before too late. Sped the video to see blossoms brought in seconds, colors you expect in poems where the world ends, everything cut down. John Crawford, Eric Garner, Mike Brown.
Good morning. My name is Scott Winters, and my pronouns are he and him. I'll be reading the poem Alabanza by Martin Espada. As a poet, essayist, and translator, editor, and attorney, Martin Espada has dedicated much of his career to the pursuit of social justice, including fighting for human rights and reclaiming the historical record. He was born in Brooklyn, New York, and the son of a Puerto Rican civil rights activist. His critically acclaimed collections of poetry both celebrate and lament the working class experience. Espada has given voice to otherness, powerlessness, and poverty. His poem is titled Alabanza, in praise of Local 100. Alabanza means praise in Spanish. For the 43 of hotel employees and restaurant employees, Local 100, working at the Windows of the World restaurant, who lost their lives in the attack on the World Trade Center on 9/11. Alabanza, praise the cook with the shaven head and a tattoo on his shoulder that says Olla, a blue-eyed Puerto Rican with people from Fajardo, the harbor of pirates centuries ago. Praise the lighthouse in Fajardo, candle glimmering, white to worship the dark saint of the sea. Alabanza, praise the cook's yellow pirate's cap, worn in the name of Roberto Clemente, his plane that flamed into the ocean, loaded with cans for Nicaragua, for all the mouths chewing the ash of earthquakes. Alabanza, praise the kitchen radio, dial clicked even before the dial on the oven, so that music and Spanish rose before the bread. Praise the bread. Alabanza. Praise Manhattan for 107 flights up, like Atlantis glimpsed through the windows of an ancient aquarium. Praise the great windows where immigrants from the kitchen could squint and almost see their world. Hear the chant of nations, Ecuador, Mexico, Republica Dominicana, Haiti, Yemen, Ghana, Bangladesh. Alabanza. Praise the kitchen in the morning where the gas burned blue on every stove and exhaust fans fired their diminutive propellers. Hands cracked eggs with quick thumbs or sliced open cartons to build an altar of cans. Alabanza, praise the busboy's music, the chime of his dishes and silverware in the tub. Alabanza, praise the dish dog, the dishwasher who worked that morning because another dishwasher could not stop coughing or because he needed overtime to pile the sacks of rice and beans for a family floating away on some Caribbean island plagued by frogs. Alabanza, praise the waitress who heard the radio in the kitchen and sang to herself about a man gone. Alabanza. After the thunder, wilder than thunder, after the booming ice storm of glass from the great windows, after the radio stopped singing like a tree full of terrified frogs, After night burst the dam of day and flooded the kitchen. For a time the stoves glowed in darkness, like the lighthouse in Fajardo, like a cook's soul. Soul, I say, even if the dead cannot tell us about the bristles of God's beard, because God has no face. Soul, I say, to name the smoke beings flung in constellations across the night sky of this city and cities to come. Alabanza, I say, even if God has no face. Alabanza. When the war began, from Manhattan to Kabul, two constellations of smoke rose and drifted to each other, mingling in icy air. And one said with an Afghan tongue, "Teach me to dance. We have no music here." The other said with a Spanish tongue, "I will teach you. Music is all we have."
My name is Wendy Kluse, and I use she, her pronouns. This next poem is titled One Chance, after filling out a teacher assessment of suitability for Army Special Schools for Tony Herrera and dropping it into the mail slot, by Paul Ann Peterson, from her book of poetry, One Small Sun. Peterson is a Portland native. She taught English at West Lynn High School and was Oregon's Poet Laureate from 2010 to 2014. The forum had asked me to please rate, on a scale of 1 to 5, the applicant's mental ability, general health, respect for authority. He called me Sweet Pea once, his words surprising himself more than anyone else. Everybody in class laughed, especially me. Tony was pleased, smiling slowly, his tongue tasting the sour metal of new braces. Honesty, dependability, ability to live in close proximity to others. When I stepped between Monty and James, Tony stepped too, barely touching Monty's arm, talking fast to Monty about suspension, getting grounded, cooling off, while I was talking James out the door. Diligence. Potential for leadership. Initiative. A shepherd mix wandered into class during finals, one blue eye, one brown. Tony borrowed my mug for a water bowl, and although others coaxed and whistled, it chose to sleep by his desk. When the dog grew restless, Tony lifted it into his arms, carried it the length of the hall, before setting it down out in the grass outside. Tony's assessment form, on its way to the Army, I suddenly recalled another boy, Jeremy, back at school one day, discharged early after a scrape with a sergeant. his hunger for action as persistent as the florid tattoo on his arm. Hair shorn, fatigues, blade creased, Jeremy had pulled a desk up to mine to talk, believing I was, besides himself, the only one in that classroom who wasn't a child. Got trained to run a $1 million laser weapon for tanks. I can hit one a mile away, zap a hole in it just an inch wide, heats up what's inside to 5,000 degrees, sucks everything through the hole out the back. Boom. It's done. But tanks cost big bucks. They only let me try it on one. I wanted Tony's form back from the Army so I could tell one more truth. Just one. Yes, Antonio Herrera wants to be among those few you'll choose, wants the chance to wear your special uniform. But what you hope I'll praise in Tony will make him unfit to serve.
My name's Maverick McClellan. This poem was read on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., as part of the March for Science on Earth Day, April 22, 2017. Jane Hirschfield wrote it on January 25th, the fifth day of Donald Trump's presidency. When information on climate change was removed from the White House website and scientists at the EPA, National Park Service, Department of Agriculture, and other federal agencies were ordered to release no further research information without permission. Scientists at Badlands National Park in South Dakota began unofficially tweeting factual information that day, and scientists at many government institutions and universities began copying research onto backup systems. On the Fifth Day, by Jane Hirschfield. On the fifth day, the scientists who studied the rivers were forbidden to speak or to study the rivers. The scientists who studied the air were told not to speak of the air, and the ones who worked for the farmers were silenced, and the ones who worked for the bees. Someone from deep in the Badlands began posting facts. The facts were told not to speak and were taken away. The facts, surprised to be taken, were silent. Now it was only the rivers that spoke of the rivers, and only the wind that spoke of the bees, while the unpausing factual buds on the fruit trees continued to move toward the fruit. The silence spoke loudly of silence. And the rivers kept speaking of rivers, boulders, and air. Bound to gravity, earless and tongueless, the untested rivers kept speaking. Bus drivers, shelf stalkers, code writers, machinists, accountants, lab techs, cellists kept speaking. They spoke the fifth day of silence.
Hello, my name is Mike Fish, and I'm going to read a poem on hope by Wendell Berry. Wendell Berry was born in Kentucky in the 1930s, and he taught at a bunch of different universities and also his alma mater. And he is a writer of many mediums, not just poetry, but also fiction and nonfiction essays as well. And he's published quite a bit in his lifetime. And he still is working on a farm in Port Royal, Kentucky, with his wife, Tanya Berry. So this is a poem on hope. It is hard to have hope. It is harder as you grow old, for hope must not depend on feeling good. And there's the dream of loneliness at absolute midnight. You also have withdrawn belief in the present reality of the future, which surely will surprise us. And hope is harder when it cannot come by prediction any more than by wishing. But stop dithering. The young ask the old to hope. What will you tell them? Tell them at least what you say to yourself. Because we have not made our lives to fit our places. The forests are ruined, the fields eroded, the streams polluted, the mountains overturned. Hope then to belong to your place by your own knowledge of what it is that no other place is, and by your caring for it as you care for no other place. This knowledge cannot be taken from you by power or by wealth. It will stop your ears to the powerful when they ask for your faith, and to the wealthy when they ask for your land and your work. Be still and listen to the voices that belong to the stream banks and the trees and the open fields. Find your hope then on the ground under your feet. Your hope of heaven, let it rest on the ground underfoot. The world is no better than its places. Its places, at last, are no better than their people, while their people continue in them. When the people make dark the light within them, the world darkens.
Good morning, I'm Virginia Quimby. I use the pronouns she and her. I'm going to be reading a poem this morning by Kim Stanford, who is an Oregon Poet Laureate. The name of the poem is Abe and I. 47 years from now, our descendants will inherit on this continent an older earth, conceived in diversity, and dedicated to the recognition that all creatures live as one. Now we are engaged in a great struggle, testing whether this creation we conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met in a great community for that struggle. We have come to dedicate a portion of our grief as a final resting place for those creatures who gave their lives departing from this creation. It is fitting and proper that we should do this. In a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this creation. The desperate creatures, neglected children, vibrant cultures, and local ways of being, living and dead, who struggled here, have long consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The whole earth will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what we now choose to do. It is for us, the living, rather to be dedicated to the unfinished work which they who struggled and lost here have thus far so painfully clarified. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these tattered beauties we take increased devotion to that cause, for which they lost their full measure of living witness and of song, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not be joined by an endless parade of others long in splendor suddenly gone, that this whole earth shall have a new birth in welcome to its own, and that the reconciliation of all creatures, by all creatures, and for all creatures, shall not perish from this earth.
As we extinguish our chalice, marking the end of our time together today, let us carry within us the warm glow of its flame and all that it stands for as we make our way through the coming week and all that it brings. And may we remember these words from singer-songwriter Holly Near. Yes, you may try to stop the music, but music has wings and flies over walls. It's there when we dance and when we romance. It's there when the dictator falls.